Hey, fellow Okies and all true crime enthusiasts out there. Cece here, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 5 of this, the Sooner State True Crime Podcast. I just wanted to apologize for this episode being a day or so late. Here in central Oklahoma last week, we had a terrible ice storm, and I actually lost power for 3 days, and then it took even longer to get our internet back up. So I'm really sorry, y'all, but I didn't have any power or Wi-Fi, so I hope y'all can forgive me. Anywho, this episode is the crimes of Wanda Jean Allen. Wanda was an Okie that suffered from a bad childhood and a low IQ. However, Wanda Allen would choose to live a life of violence, crime, and murder. Please be sure y'all are subscribed to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or any app you prefer, so you never miss a new upcoming episode. Follow our social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at OK Crime State. And I'd love to hear your comments and case suggestions or to just say hi. So email me at soonerstatecrimepod@gmail.com. The sources for each episode are listed on our website, crimestatepod.com. And y'all, we really need and deeply appreciate any support y'all can spare to help new content continue to come. So please donate to our tip jar at paypal.me/crimestate, and you'll get a shout out and handwritten thank you card. And if y'all can't support us with moolah, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Pretty please? I'm so happy that my little Okie podcast is heard all over the country and all over the world. And I just wanted to thank y'all again for just listening. Thanks, everybody. All right, let's get into our case for this episode, the crimes of Wanda Jean Allen. Wanda was ultimately convicted for one murder and sentenced to death. The sentence caused quite a stir in Oklahoma and the entire country because she would be the first African-American woman put to death in the U.S. since the 1950s and the first in Oklahoma. So come away with me to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, in the 1980s, where the following crimes occurred. Deidre L. Pettis was born on October 13, 1959, in Oklahoma. She grew up in Oklahoma City, but unfortunately became childhood friends with Wanda Jean Allen. Later, Allen said of Pettis, quote, "We was friends. We grew up together. We lived in the same neighborhood. We had mutual friends." In 1981, Deidre and Wanda grew into more than just friends and moved in together as well. Gloria Jean Leathers was born on January 7, 1959. She had a sister, Mary Ann, and a brother, Robert, and they were all raised by their mother, Ruby Wilson. Gloria's sister, Mary Ann, described her sister as sweet, friendly, and a person who, quote, "would give you anything. Sometimes you didn't even have to ask for it." Leathers went on to have 3 children, but she also became a violent criminal. In 1979, Leathers was arrested in Tulsa, Oklahoma, for the stabbing death of Sheila Marie Barker, who Gloria killed outside a local disco. Later, a judge ruled the killing was committed in self-defense. Eventually, Leathers was sent to prison for forgery and larceny. That is when and where Gloria Leathers met Wanda Allen. Wanda Jean Allen was born on August 17, 1959, in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. She was the second of 8 children by Bill and Mary Allen. According to Bill, Mary was an alcoholic that drank throughout her pregnancies. He left, however, shortly after the last baby was born, leaving Mary to raise their 8 children alone. Bill also claimed that Mary was mentally handicapped and never worked a job. The family struggled and scraped by in public housing and off welfare. Being the oldest daughter, Wanda was forced to take care of her younger siblings. Quote, "She raised us," Sister Juanita stated. Quote, "She kept clothes on our backs. She kept us going." Wanda did her best to keep the family going by doing odd jobs, but when necessary, she would steal food to feed them. These thefts caused Allen to end up in juvenile detention after several arrests. Allen describes herself as compassionate, understanding, considerate of others' feelings, and very family-oriented. On her childhood, Allen said, quote, "We had love. We didn't have a lot of financial support or materialistic things, but we had love in the house." Allen later spent time in foster care as well. At age 12, Wanda was hit by a truck and knocked unconscious. At age 14, she was stabbed in her left temple. At age 15, Allen's IQ was measured to be 69. It was found that Wanda's abilities were impaired. They found that the left hemisphere of Allen's brain was dysfunctional. This impaired her comprehension, her ability to logically express herself, and her ability to analyze cause and effect relationships. It was also found that Allen was more chronically vulnerable than others to becoming disorganized by daily stresses, and more vulnerable to lose control under stress. Allen dropped out of high school by age 17. Later, she took classes for medical assistance at Rose State Junior College in Oklahoma City, but she did not finish. Allen held jobs at Veterans Hospital and an Oklahoma City Golf and Country Club. Wanda Allen was released from prison in 1982. Gloria Leathers was released in 1986. Soon after her release, Leathers and Allen became a couple, and Leathers moved into Allen's place. Wanda Jean Allen was very aggressive in their relationship. Leathers called Allen upon her release. Allen later said, quote, "She didn't have a place to stay. She and her family were having problems. I allowed her to come and live with me because I know how hard it is when you get out." The two lived together on and off for 3 years. Allen described Leathers as funny and witty. Wanda Jean was very aggressive towards Gloria throughout their relationship. The woman fought all the time, and they would resort to physical violence. The police were called a lot, and Leathers moved out at least 6 different times. However, the pair would just reconcile, and Gloria would return. On June 29, 1981, Deidre Pettis, her boyfriend, and Wanda Allen were together at an Oklahoma City motel. Pettis and Allen were childhood friends that had developed into something more. The two were also living together in Tulsa, Oklahoma as well. That day in June of 1981, Wanda Allen got into a fight with Deidre's boyfriend and Deidre herself. Tragically, the argument caused Allen to shoot and kill Deidre Pettis. Allen also pistol-whipped Pettis before she fired the fatal shot. The details of this crime are limited due to the deal made with prosecutors. However, in her 1981 confession, Allen claimed she accidentally shot Pettis from approximately 30 feet away, while Pettis' boyfriend returned fire. However, Allen's story was inconsistent with the forensic evidence. For example, a police expert believed that bruises and powder burns on Pettis' body indicated Allen had pistol-whipped her and then shot her at point-blank range. The shooting actually took place in a supermarket parking lot. Pettis was shot once in her abdomen. Despite the evidence that Pettis was murdered, prosecutors cut a deal with Allen. She was sentenced to 4 years in prison for exchange for a guilty plea to manslaughter. Allen only served 2 of the 4 years in prison, which is where she met Gloria Leathers. Allen stated, quote, "Me and Deidre's boyfriend got into a disagreement. We had an argument and she stepped in front of the gun, and that's when she got shot." When Leathers was released from prison in 1986, she called her prison buddy Wanda Allen. Leathers had nowhere to go really, and Allen was willing to lend a hand. Quote, "By me being locked up, I understood that situation." Allen continued, quote, "You have to help some people when they get out. Someone helped me when I got out, so in turn, I wanted to help someone as well. Prosecutors would later claim Allen and Leathers became a couple while in prison together, but Allen insisted that it occurred after. Regardless, Leathers moved in with Allen and they lived together on and off for 3 years leading up to the murder. Quote, "It was the wrong type of lifestyle," Allen said of their lesbian relationship. Quote, "It didn't make either of us less human than if we were in a heterosexual relationship." Regardless, the two had a rocky and violent relationship. On December 1, 1988, 7 years after Deidre Pettis' death, Leathers and Allen were living together in OKC. The couple engaged in yet another argument that day at a grocery store. Leathers wanted out of the relationship with Allen. However, more specifically, the couple argued over a welfare check that day, and Leathers told Allen she was moving out. An OKC police officer then escorted the women, who had the same address, back to their home. The cop stood by while Leathers packed up her belongings. However, the pair just got into another fight about who owned what article of clothing. At some point, Leathers called her mother, Ruby Wilson of Edmond, to come and pick her up from the house. Once Ruby arrived, she and Gloria left the apartment and decided to go file a complaint against Allen with police. Wanda followed the pair to the Village Police Station in North OKC. As Leathers was exiting the car, Allen walked up with her hands hidden underneath her sweatshirt. The couple exchanged a few words before Leathers leaned into the car to grab her purse. When Allen, quote, "stuck it to my baby's ribs. She stuck it in her stomach and shot her. It sounded like a cap gun," Leather's mother recalled. Allen took out her hands and, holding a gun, she shot Leathers once in her abdomen, just like she did to Deidre Pettis. Ruby Wilson, Leather's mother, witnessed her daughter's murder. After she was shot, Gloria slumped down into the car. Two village officers and a dispatcher heard the gunshot, but no police department employees actually saw the shooting. A city official found Leathers laying in a pool of blood, just a few feet away from the police station. Quote, "She was conscious and told us what transpired and who shot her," the witness said. Quote, "I don't really remember all that much of what she said because I was in shock myself," the city employee added. Quote, "If we'd had gone out there 2 minutes earlier, we'd have walked right into the middle of the shooting." 4 days later and following surgery, Gloria Leathers died on December 6, 1988. She was later buried at Green Acres Memorial Garden Cemetery in Sperry, Oklahoma, near Tulsa.
Hey, fellow Okies and all true crime in Oklahoma enthusiasts. Cece here, and as a member of the Osage Native American tribe, I'm so excited to tell y'all about the WYLD Gallery, which exclusively offers Native American created artwork. Visit www.wyld.gallery to check out the bright and bold pop art style pieces and some historical artwork that expresses the views of Native Americans. On the website, y'all can comment on your favorite pieces of art or artists that you enjoy. Trust me, the art is very good, and it includes artists with permanent work in museum collections, such as the Smithsonian National Museum of the American Indian in DC and New York City. Christmas is rapidly approaching, y'all, and the artwork from WYLD is reasonably priced and makes a thoughtful and unique gift. So visit www.wyld.gallery today to find the perfect piece of art for you or your family and friends. Links are in the show notes.
Due to the witnesses and location of Gloria Leather's shooting, Wanda Jean Allen was immediately the only suspect. She was, however, able to flee the scene before she was arrested. Initially, Allen was charged with shooting with intent to kill. She was arrested on December 6, 1988, in Duncan, Oklahoma. Just 2 hours after her arrest, Gloria Leathers died in the hospital. Thankfully, Leathers was able to tell police exactly who shot her before she passed away. On December 7, 1988, Allen's charge was changed to first-degree murder. Two village police officers drove Allen back to Oklahoma City from Duncan after her arrest. One of the officers, Kinman, later stated, quote, "She became a bit emotional when we told her Gloria Leathers had died." But very shortly after, Allen started to claim the shooting was in self-defense. Kinman said, quote, "She claimed she never meant to hurt Gloria, but that Gloria had struck her with a garden tool at home. And then when she followed her to City Hall, Gloria threatened her with it again." Kinman was also the co-investigator in the case. He continued, quote, "But I wondered, why did she follow Gloria with a gun?" Kinman also added, "There was never any garden tools found on the shooting scene." Kinman contended Allen was, quote, "very street smart. She knew what she was saying when we were questioning her and what we were after, and she was always trying to build her own defense during those interviews." Allen claimed she couldn't tell, quote, "what was happening as far as mentally," when she shot Leathers directly in front of a police station. Allen continued to maintain she acted in self-defense, saying that Leathers hit her in the face with a hand rake during their argument at home. Allen also claimed that Leathers, once again, tried to attack her with a rake outside the village police department. However, in addition to no rake ever being located, Allen did not have any sign of such an injury visible on her face when she was photographed and booked into jail on December 7, 1988, just days after the murder. The state of Oklahoma labeled Allen as, quote, "mentally retarded," citing an IQ test conducted in 1975, in which she scored a 69. In 1995, a psychologist performed a comprehensive evaluation of Allen and found, quote, "clear and convincing evidence of cognitive and sensory motor defects and brain dysfunction." The doctor said these issues may be linked to an adolescent head injury. Due to her injury at age 12, when Allen was hit by a truck and knocked unconscious, and when at age 14 or 15, Allen was stabbed in her left temple. The doctor retested Allen's IQ, and the results were now 80. Despite that, the doctor stated that Allen's, quote, "intellectual abilities are markedly impaired." He found, quote, "particularly significant left hemisphere dysfunction, impairing her comprehension, her ability to logically express herself." The doctor also concluded that Allen is more vulnerable to lose control under stress. Despite Allen's claims and her mental ability concerns, she was still charged with the first-degree murder of Gloria Leathers and faced the death penalty. Before the state announced that it would seek the death penalty in the first-degree murder case against Wanda Jean Allen, her attorney, Robert Carpenter, was only paid $800 to represent her. Carpenter had agreed to defend Allen prior to the death penalty announcement. Since Carpenter had never tried a capital case before, he asked to be removed from the case so that competent counsel could be appointed. However, the prosecution argued that he should still not be allowed to withdraw, and the court agreed. This most likely directly affected the outcome of this trial. Carpenter never had any psychological testing done on Allen. Therefore, no evidence of her mental retardation was ever discussed in her trial. Allen also said her attorney was not given a fair trial and was limited with what evidence he could present. Despite the state being aware of Allen's probable brain damage, neurological deficiencies, and mental retardation. They did not make the jury aware of any of them. The state decided to seek the death penalty for Allen due to her violent criminal past and conduct, such as the deadly stabbing of Deidre Pedges just 7 years before. The Oklahoma County prosecutors described Allen as a person that hunted her victims and that she was a remorseless liar. The state entered into evidence a card from Allen to Leathers. It had a gorilla on it, and the printed message inside said, quote, "Patience my ass, I'm going to kill something." Allen wrote inside the card, quote, "Try and leave me and you will understand this card more. Dig, for real, no joke." The state described Leathers as meek and timid. The prosecution did present some correspondence between Leathers and Allen to show her intent to kill Gloria if she ever tried to leave. They said, quote, "You're everything I ever wanted. I'm very happy with your love. You're my everything. P.S. I'm the type of person who will hunt someone down I love and kill them. Do I make myself clear, Gloria?" They also insisted that Allen would kill again, and that's why she was a suitable candidate to be the first woman to be executed by the state of Oklahoma. Sandra Elliott, an Oklahoma County assistant DA who sought the death penalty, stated, quote, "She was a two-time killer, and obviously she presented a continuing threat to society." Elliott went on to say, quote, "She killed her first lover. She killed her second lover, and I have no doubt that if she were angered by any future lovers, she would respond in the same way." The prosecution, with basically no objection from the defense, also entered in extensive testimony that Allen was, quote, the man in the relationship with Leathers, and that she even went by the name Jean. In both cases, Allen concealed a gun underneath her clothing and then claimed to not know how the gun was fired. She also claimed self-defense in both of the shootings. On April 19, 1989, jurors rejected Allen's self-defense claim and found her guilty of first-degree murder. Once the jury learned of the killing by Allen of Deidre Pedges, it took them only 2 hours to sentence her to death. Allen's first appeal that requested a new hearing was denied on February 15, 1994. The courts affirmed her post-conviction relief on December 27, 1995. The issue of Allen's mental retardation was once again raised by her appeals attorney. The fact that Allen was sentenced to death caused an outcry against the ultimate punishment. One reason activists and others were so against her sentence was because Allen would be the first woman put to death in Oklahoma and the first African-American woman in the United States since 1954. In addition, the facts that Allen's IQ was so low, she was prenatally exposed to alcohol, and suffered debilitating head injuries were completely ignored in her trial, caused a lot of people to question the sentence. Other activists were of the opinion that Allen's sexuality was also held against her in court. Pleas to Oklahoma Governor Frank Keating to grant Allen a stay of execution were made often. Governor Keating did consider granting the stay for Allen, based on the issue of whether or not the Oklahoma Pardon and Parole Board had enough information regarding her education. However, the governor ultimately refused Allen's last-minute request for a 30-day stay, and last-minute rejections by appeals courts cleared the way for her execution. The U.S. Supreme Court also refused to intervene in the case. Quote, "This is not easy because I'm dealing with a fellow human being," Governor Keating said. He also met with the Reverend Jesse Jackson before making his decision to deny the stay. Allen was on death row for 12 years before her execution date was set by the state for January 11, 2001. In the days leading up to Allen's execution, Reverend Jesse Jackson orchestrated a protest at the Mabel Bassett Women's Correctional Facility in Oklahoma City. J. Jackson, along with 2 to 3 dozen others, were arrested for trespassing on the prison property. As an additional part of his protest, Reverend Jackson spent the night in the Oklahoma County Jail, one of the country's worst. 24 relatives of murder victims Gloria Leathers and Deidre Pettis traveled to the Oklahoma State Pen in McAlester, Oklahoma, for the execution. Death penalty supporters and opponents also gathered outside the gates the night of the execution, speaking in low voices and shivering in the cold. Allen, who was 41 at the time of her execution, prayed out loud for the audience to hear. Quote, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Repeating the words of Jesus. Quote, "We're the victims, not Wanda Jean," Leather's daughter stated. Allen's last meal request was just a bag of chips. Wanda acted like the monster she was by sticking her tongue out at the witnesses and victims' families. Allen was strapped to the gurney, raised up her head and smiled, and a tear appeared in the corner of her eye before she was given the lethal dose of medication. Wanda Jean Allen was pronounced dead at 9:21 p.m. on January 11, 2001. Thanks y'all so much for listening to the 5th episode of Season 2 of Sooner State True Crime. I wanted to cover this case for the issues surrounding the execution of women in my state and others. I still do not have a solid fact about why Allen was put to death when most women are spared the death penalty. However, Oklahoma does lock up more women in prison than any other state in the Union. And as a woman and the mother of a daughter, I have voted for all the state's criminal reforms that just recently have made changes to the system, but there's still a lot of work to be done. So please subscribe to our podcast in any podcast app you prefer, and follow our social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at OK Crime State. Email me at soonerstatecrimepod@gmail.com, and our website is crimestatepod.com. Episode 6 of Season 2 will be released on November 15th. So until then, please stay sooner safe out there, y'all. Thank you.